Welcome to Welcome to Hellas Footy Podcast, episode 30. I'm your host, George. Let's get started. Steve, how are you?
I'm okay, George, but it's getting cold in the UK. It's due to snow tomorrow, so not looking forward to getting into work on that day.
If it's any consolation here, it's in the middle of summer and it's been raining. So
yeah, that'll happen come July, August.
Last week it was sticking hot, so who knows what's going to happen. Anyway, Michael.
Ah, same as us, George. Rain, miserable, whatever.
And you're in the banana bender state, which is a beautiful one day, perfect the next, apparently.
Change that. It's perfect 1 hour, and the next hour is shit.
fair enough.
Oh, wait. Before we go on, I must say, Greek football, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes. You should trademark that, mate, because we have a lot to talk about with regards to the gift within Greek football. And last but not least, Nico, how are you?
Yeah, good, and same as echo the rest of your thoughts. The only thing I'll add is the humidity is a nightmare in Sydney with the rain.
Stinking, it's, yeah, anyway. Tēnā kānoi, but Greek football is still kicking and the gift is still out there. So we'll get things started here with the Greek Super League. Atromitos won or draw with Ophi Lambropoulos in the 85th minute. Got the away goal for Ophi, and they thought they might be jagging a win there against a high-flying Atromitos. But in the 98th minute, Morelo pulls one back for the home side, which probably would have broken off his heart in that match. Stephen, how did you see this one?
Well, I was keeping an eye on it during the day, and I was surprised at Offi. I thought that Adromitos would comfortably get a win, being that they're still undefeated under Ilic as their newest manager. And credit to Offi, they came away from Beristeri with a point. And I think that's, it's not something I quite expected. And like you said, it took a very, very late equaliser for Adromitos to not lose that game.
Yeah.
So credit to Offi. Adromitos maintain their undefeated streak, I guess, as well.
Nothing you can say there. Yeah, you'd be upset if you're an Offie fan. But you got to play the game till the final whistle, especially now where they've decided to actually play the full injury time. Whereas before, no matter how much injury time, there was always 4 or 5 minutes. Now, you know, it could be anything. So, anyway, there you go. Next match, Panathinaikos 2-0 winners away from home over Lamia. The effervescent man, Wada, opened up the scoring for Panathinaikos, and they doubled the lead in the 85th minute with Alexic there. Michael, was Alexic one of your Larissa boys a couple of years ago, or am I thinking of someone else?
No.
He was in Iraklis.
Yeah.
Okay. Must be thinking of another run of the Serbian connection that Gugias used to get, or whatever, former Yugoslav connection.
Don't remind me, George.
He's doing wonderful work at Olympiacos, but we'll talk about that later. Panathinaikos, Michael, they're doing all right, eh?
Yeah, they had a slip of form, and this was a crucial win for them. I don't think they'll make the six, but they will definitely survive, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But Wada in this game on, I think it was his debut. Mm-hmm. He was he made a huge difference for the side. They needed that spark, and he provides that spark. Yeah, despite his controversial character, there's no doubt in his talent. And that is the bright spark they needed in the team. And hey, look what he provided. A goal and an assist.
Yeah, the guy's super talented, but a super duvlo. So, you know, if he can just keep himself. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No. He just needs to focus on football because, we don't need to talk about all the dramas that he got caught up in couple of years ago.
It's crazy, as we said, that's crazy they've allowed him back into Greece with all those off-field issues.
Well, there was never anything done about it. It was all just...
Yeah,
it was even... Anyway, look, I don't want to talk about that. It's all hearsay or whatever. So, but, you know, he's obviously a talent. He's back in Greek football. And how old is he, guys? Does anyone know?
30, I
guess.
30.
Yeah.
30, yeah. Yeah. And he's... Yeah. Oh, he's obviously got a relationship with Garcia from the Palk days. So, yeah, look, good on him. See if he can just, you know, finish off his career with the talent that everyone knows that he's got there. Moving on, one of the big results of the weekend, Aris 4-0 winners over Panathinaikos away from home. Jurasek opened up the scoring there. Suleimanov in the 78th minute doubled their lead, and then two late goals by Saverio and Zamora in the 90th and 96th minute, respectively, wrapped up that result away from home. Boys, Aris have been on a bit of a tear of late. I always talk about this Muncios effect, where he comes in, he gets all these banger results, and everyone's thinking, wow, what great results. And, you know, I said it last week where, you know, come probably March, you'll have a run of poor results and you probably will get the sack. So, but they're doing nice things there. Fefadzidis, Panagidis in the team, you know, that's two Greeks starting for Aris. We haven't seen Greeks, you know, for a while there. They had zero Greeks even on the bench there. So that's a good thing. Michael, do you want to add to it?
Oh, that's a win that they, you know, prove. Well, let's say this: they beat Balk last week. This is something that proves what they are at the moment under Manzios. And Manzios is the type that can rebuild mentality in the team. And he brings a certain style to his sides as well. What we discussed with Stephen and I think Nico as well. Man, he's brought back all these players that had that that he had that amazing run that they finished third, like Velez and Fefadzidis is now back. Man, he's bringing these guys back.
Boys back, yeah.
Yep.
What do you think? What do you think?
That happens? Band is together.
What do you think happens? What do you think his results like? What do you think he's got that roller coaster effect in his coaching there?
I think
it, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Aris's thinking comes from the very beginning of the season when they don't make Europe. I think they just always hit panic stations because Manzios hasn't been able to do that with Aris either. And it just feels like every manager who fails, it's only a matter of time before they get one bad result or a few bad results in the league, whereby that justifies them being sacked. I don't know. Yeah. I maybe that could have something to do with it. But Aris... Aris as good as they are at the moment, and of course in their good form, they're about to face Olympiakos. We have to see if they can finish strong this season and then challenge to try and qualify for Europe again. If they even get into European place, then they need to do something in Europe to really kick on.
Well, look, I'll add to that, Steve. As George pointed out, two Greeks started. Fefadzidis, Panagidis.
It's a start.
I reckon they need some more. Greek, they need to identify with Greece. Like they've gone out of their way for so long, so many years with all these foreign players. It's time for them to, you know, embrace yourselves, you know, embrace you know, with your you identity, know, being Greek.
You know, especially like up in Thessaloniki, you need to. There's not an issue having foreigners. I'm not against the foreigners there, but sometimes Aris was always caught up with these mediocre foreigners. I mean, Larissa went through that as well, where you were just you're replacing one mediocre foreigner with another one, and you just and it's to the detriment of all the, you know, Greek football as well, and to the club and to Greek football. So your team's not playing well. You're getting rid of some bloke that you've never heard of, replacing him with some bloke that you've never heard of, and then you look at their Wikipedia page, and between them they've played for 15 different clubs, and they're 27 years old, and you're like, what are you gonna do? Like, you know. So at least when you start seeing guys. You start to like, okay, Fefadzidis is a talent. We all know that. He's just, you know, whatever, he's chased the money throughout his career, but he's always come back. you look at their bench and they've got, you know, they've got two, three Greeks on the bench as well. So they are trying to at least build something within, you know, the club as well there. And then you sprinkle those good foreigners that obviously like working with Martial. So it's a good thing. I think the club will finish where they're sitting now. I can't see them above fifth spot, but, you know, they're doing all the right things there.
Whatever happened to the quota, the Greeks quota? Remember that?
I think we all know that was never going to happen. It was all this, Nicole. Talk.
They said they were going to – it got voted to be implemented right then and there, if I remember, during that time. But I think typical with Greek football is they all just voted, but it was never written down and there was never any sanctions if you don't do that. So, you know, and then they're just like, Hagami said that, like, what are you going to do about it?
Well, here's the thing. When we want something projected in Greece, all right, we say, okay, we want this. Let's vote for it. All right. And next thing happens, it's done in 50 years' time. Like with Ajax Stadium. How long did that take?
20 plus years. Yeah, 20 something. 20
yeah.
something.
Yeah. So would that.
2002, I think, was their last season.
Yeah. Yeah, 20.
This is what I'm talking about.
And Park Stadium, that's still going. Remember those drawings we used to see about 10, 15 years ago? Oh, well, maybe 10 years ago. I remember early days of Twitter where they used to be like these weird, like, real basic drawings that people were doing on the internet, and it was Bathnacle Stadium, and they still do those rounds there, but who knows what's happening with your stadium as well, Nicole.
I told you back then, they promised by 2026 it'll be done, like fully done, ready to move in. I told you it's not going to happen, and it's not.
And nothing has, but has there been any news? Have they started digging or tipota?
They say they have, but I don't. People that live there have driven past me. Nothing's been done.
It's the close side, eh?
And you know what? I'll add in with my club. I remember I was too young. But if you look at the ownership under Kostas Pilavakis, you know, he was a rich businessman back then. Man, he had the idea of having Larissa with a new stadium, and that took 5 years, done and dusted. And that was money out of his own pocket. Took us 5 years to get a new stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know. In my opinion, that's probably the shortest period of time a stadium has been built in Greece and fulfilled the promise.
Xanthi also had their stadium built quite quickly. I think was it?
Oh, yeah, Xanthi too. Yeah.
For the Olympics, I think around that time, their stadium got built quite quickly. Yeah, I don't know.
It's rare. It's very rare for a stadium to be built.
Yeah.
To be built in 4 or 5 years.
It can be done. Yeah. You know, it can be done. Didn't up on me.
It can be done with the right people.
With the right people, anything can be done. But that's not how Greek football works. Moving on from stadium debacles to refereeing debacles. Olympiacos had a narrow 3-2 win over Kifisia. We had the scoring opened up in the 11th minute by Masuras. What a goal, guys. If you haven't seen it, there was some nice interplay there, and he came out and he hit it, and it never looked like missing there. Fran Navarro doubled the lead with a penalty in the 39th minute. Retsos got sent off, second yellow card in the 44th minute, and Milicevic got a penalty in just before. Got a goal. Sorry for the home side. Just before half time. So that was 2-1 going into the break there. Ozegovic, another penalty there in the 64th minute. Two all there, and El Arabi opened up the Evergreen El Arabi in the 85th minute to pull one back, pull the winner out. Sorry there with Santos for the home side getting sent off in the 93rd minute. So result 3-2. Stephen, where do we start? Again, another week. Another, and you know what? I'm singing whatever song people want to sing. This is at least 10 goals or goal scoring opportunities or whatever that have been chalked off by Olympiacos since Panathinaikos drama, or maybe even earlier before that, that have just been completely unwarranted. This isn't tin hat stuff. What's going on, Steve?
Well, I want to start by I want to start with the positives. First win in 2024, finally.
Yes.
And goodness me, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, George, for this one, because we started the game really well, pretty routine, 2-0 up. I thought, okay, we might actually see a game out without making it difficult for ourselves. 5 minutes later, Retsos gets sent off. And to be fair, the two yellows, particularly the second, was a harsh call for Retsos.
Second was harsh.
But the point is, it happened again, and it's like, oh, we just can never make it easier for ourselves, can we? And then they obviously pulled one back just before half time. And the penalty that was given against us, okay, not great from Biancon, but there we go. It was given and they equalised.
I can see that as a penalty. Look, it is. It's just bad defending. He should know better to keep his arm away from there.
But before we get to the controversial incidents, I'm glad that the team just rallied and stepped up and just got on with it. And no matter, despite the mountains they had to climb to win this game, they did it. And El Arabi, legend of the club, best striker we've had in the modern era, scores, and eventually the goal gets given. And it's a great win. And credit to Gelson Martins, he came on and provided the assist. So.
Yep.
And also credit to Carvajal, his substitutes actually really helped us, especially when we went down to 10 men and we were a man down for most of the second half, well, almost the entire
second half.
And so it's a shame because with context, Gifishia were also really bad. It's like it helped them massively that Gifishia not that great and we had struggled to beat them due to outside circumstances. But it's hard to say that it was an incredible performance because it is the worst team in the Super League, right? They're the worst team in the Super League right now. But it's good that we got the win and we just needed to get that over the line. I hope it's a massive boost for the team in that respect. And with regards to the decisions that went against us, I've said it on here before and I said it to you in private, George. I don't want to believe the conspiracy theories and the Tim Pot Hat stuff, but by God, are the referees trying to convince me otherwise? Because those decisions were disgraceful. They were an absolute.
I never want to be the one that says this is that. But seriously,
where are the lines being drawn, George?
Where are the lines being drawn when they look at VAR decisions? What?
El Arabi's header that was chalked off for offside. I don't know where the offside was or where the infringement was. There wasn't one. And then he scores an identical goal and that's given, right? And then it's just hilarious. And then the other goal that was ruled out for offside too, that and the penalty decision that we probably could have been given and that wasn't given either.
And it's also his red card. Look, that's a harsh call, the red card. I don't care. Like, it's a second yellow. If you're given that as your first yellow, yeah, maybe you can say, okay, well, you know, you went in there robust. But you're looking at him, and he's gone. He never went to clean up the play. He was going for the ball, and he hardly. Yeah, I don't know. Michael, I'm going to go to you, mate, just because, you know, whatever. I'll just go to you first before we go to Nickel. How do you make sense of these decisions?
How can you answer that? It can be any answer, really, George. We saw last week with, I'll bring up Volos Atromitos. Volos scored a clear cut goal. And it was ruled offside. The goal scorer was clearly behind the defender. And you just wonder, how do they draw the line on that? And if we go earlier in the season, Ajax also against Atromitos, but Atromitos is the one that scored the goal. But the VAR put a line on the goalkeeper as the offside, but the player that scored the goal was clearly behind him, and they ruled it as offside, and it was. You know, it was a very narrow win for Ike at that time, but it was a very, very brutal call to make. Like, and these are brutal calls, and it hurts the team, it hurts the spirit of the game.
It hurts the spirit of the game more so. And I always, sorry, and I'll get to you in a second, Steve, as well. I said this last week, and I'll say it again, and it affected Panathinaikos to a certain point, maybe not as bad, but to a certain point in their match. No one gives a shit because it's happening to Olympiakos. Fair enough, whatever, right? But it's happening in plain sight for everyone to see. And this is you can name, you know, nearly a dozen decisions in the past 2 months that have happened to Olympiakos where any normal person would look at these and say, at the very least, I'll say these are harsh, if not completely just out of order, right? And then you're looking at these and I'm thinking, yeah, no one cares, right? Fair enough, no one cares. But it's going to start happening to your club. And it's starting to happen to other clubs now. And they're starting to see it. And again, there's no conspiracy. There's no conspiracy where I'm thinking clubs are benefiting or whatever. But something's amiss. And I don't know what it is. And it's literally happening in front of everyone's eyes. And besides Marinakis and Kugias screaming, no one else is screaming. No one else is saying this is injustice. And it's only because it's Olympiakos. And this is, and we've said this before a million times, and I'll say this a million times, Kugias didn't come to the club and he's running his own race here. He's not running his own race. He's getting told, do this, do that. You're the lawyer. Go into it. Make sure you don't defame the club with what you say. And just go to town, start litigation, start prosecutions, start nailing everyone left, right, and center. You know, for the last whatever, remember all of last season, they're like, oh, you know, Aris B, you know, Olympia, Aris is Olympiakos B side. Well, we've got Karapidis now going after Olympiakos and, you know, for the club for defamation. So I don't understand what's going on. Sorry, Stephen, sorry for the rant.
I think that's one of the few things that's stopping me from really going full conspiracy mode, because it is happening to a lot of other teams, and that just shows the wider incompetence to the use of VAR, but also the incompetence of the level of referees that we're using, whether that be the foreign ones or the Greek ones. And I think that it's just, I don't really know how to deal with that, because it's happening at all levels. Like, I know we keep saying it, but the Premier League, the greatest league in the world, is the quotation mark. Is that it's happening there even too? So I don't know. I don't know.
It is happening everywhere, and you're right, Steve. But honestly, it's an injustice what's happening to Olympiakos, because they're so they're so blatant. Like, goals are being swiped. And it's not even the fans that are saying this now. The media is starting to say it as well, and they're starting to be loud about it as well. What's his name? I've had a mind blank now. The AX striker,
Nikolaidis
said that, you know, it was an injustice for Olympiakos. Now, he also said that AX at the time the other week also, you know, didn't get a fair share of it, but he's a level-headed person, so he always speaks the truth anyway, and he doesn't show any bias.
He also said the Verbić one wasn't a penalty. Just remember that.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, katalaves.
Well, there you go. I didn't see that bit. I didn't listen
to it. I can send it to you if you want.
But
I've seen it. That is criminal.
I don't know. We'll talk about that.
A few hours apart, I had both my teams dotted by refs in different countries.
We'll head to that game.
Olympiakos, there's still a part of me that thinks long may it continue. We need this to happen for decades more. And then I'll say, okay, enough. Then you've lived what we've lived.
Well, you can look at all these conspiracies, right? And you can.
But you used to call me a conspiracy theorist today.
No, I'm saying, well, what I'm saying here, right? I used to call a lot of things, you know, I used to say a lot of things. But what I'm trying to say is that throughout the last 20 years when Olympiakos dominated the league, you never had, you could name one, two, three, and it was always a player or an odd decision here or there. per season, which you'd always look at one or two games and you'd be like, ah, what happened here? This is bullshit here. We're looking at like six or seven games in one season.
As I said to you, two of my teams in different countries have done it.
Six or seven games in one season. And everyone's saying, oh, you know what? Well, at least the league, you know, used to finish in February because Olympiacos used to steamroll it. All right, fair enough. The league is, you know, compressed and anyone can win it from the three, four clubs there, but still doesn't make it right. What you gotta resort to these things, and that's a conspiracy theory. And I'm pulling myself away from that. But you're seeing these things and you're seeing some decisions. And no one's saying anything, and it's doing my head in. Stephen, we got the win.
Yes, that's the prettiest, most important thing, George.
Not the prettiest win, but we got the win there. Now, Carvalho, he's hung around for the last three coaches. Well, whatever, however many coaches we've had, but they
it's
no
Martin,
one's loaned.
So yeah, it's about
no one's loaned him out. Yeah. So what do they say? What you know? He's obviously there's a player in him. There's a player there,
and he didn't do much wrong either. To be fair, I think he's just for me. He's like a jack of all trades player because he can play as the six, play as the eight, play as the ten, do it competently. He won't be better. He's not better than any of the other midfielders we've got. So. That's why he's there. And when he contributes, he contributes. Like he got the assist against Panathinaikos on in the cup. So it's just, but the problem with Carvalho is that he goes missing for a few games and he lacks consistency.
Well, there's the inconsistent part in him. But yeah, look, he started deep. He's a deep next to Camara. Played the whole game. Can't fault him, but good to see Fran Navarro get off the score sheet as well. Get the goal there, so that's good for him as well, just to be able to start off his career with a goal there. So his career in Greece.
And the MVP of the match, Stiris Ninis.
Comes on in the 90th minute. What are you holding? No, you're laughing, Michael. So Pesta.
Playing 1 minute, not getting injured.
Man of the match performance. To not get injured.
Oh, look, I like Ninis. If Greg was on here now, he'd be cursing it. That's his favorite non-AEC player. You reckon he'll have some regrets when his career's over? Anyway. What do you do?
Who knows?
What do you do?
I almost forgot he was at Kifisha. Man of the match performance, 1 minute, not getting injured.
Not getting injured, he can go home and, you know, collect his pay slip there. Moving on, Asteras had a 1-0 win over Volos. Meritelo in the 90th minute got the goal for Asteras there in that game. Volos they're in trouble, boys. I don't know. They're not.
That's where they're going to be for the rest of the season.
Yeah, look, unless they once a season splits in half, where there's something amiss with that club, and I don't think many people will care. But still, that's very unusual from them. They're usually a little bit, they usually sit around, between fifth and ninth, and they're down the bottom. They're only a couple of points above last spot. So, Asteras, on the other hand, holding on to sixth spot with some clubs sniffing about there. So, good on them. They're being consistent there.
I want to say something about the striker Meritelio.
Yep.
One of the top scorers in the league right now. I think that was his 10th goal. I think. He was the man. He's the man that they've replaced Barabas with, and
ninth goal of the season. Loren Moron, Moron's got the on 10 goals.
Yeah, Meritelio, my goodness, clinical striker, and his goal scoring record doesn't really contrast to what he's doing right now back in Argentina. He's firing in goals in Greece, so maybe it's a little change of environment that he needed. He's firing in the goals and his value is going up.
24 he's years old, the... so he's still young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they've got their striker that they need. He's exceeded expectations, of course. It's a shame that it's a loan, but hopefully they can try and sign him up permanently in the summer.
Well, it all depends, really, because if he's going this way, you know, he's ridden up as a midfielder, actually.
So a striker, right? He's actually a striker. That's a mistake on the website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. No, he's a striker.
Yeah, look, good player, good little player, 24 years old. So I think it could be the little career boost. I don't think a 24-year-old Argentinian looked up and thought at 24 I'm going to be, you know, playing for a club in Tripoli in Greece. So, look, you know, if he gets him,
but he's still got his Latino mates there.
Yeah,
Munafo, so. You know, we know Juan Munafo. He's been around the block. This is actually his 16th season in Greece. I really never knew that. Like, he first came to Greece back in 2009. He's not left Greece since then.
Do you know one thing that I noticed as well? Sean Goss is playing for Asteras, ex-Man United QPR player. I saw that name. I'm like, Sean Goss. Yeah, we bought QPR back in the day, bought him from straight from Man United. They paid off. I don't know if they got him for free or they paid a fee for him, but it was some highly rated youngster. And, yeah, he's done nothing. So
welcome to Greece.
So he's you know, he was highly rated as a youngster. So, and he's still not old. He's not an old player. Would he be probably mid-20s now? So
28 now.
I'm 28. Okay, there you go. So it was a long time ago when they bought him. But look, hopefully, you know. He wasn't a bad person, just never worked out for him in the championship there. So see if the Super League is more you know, healthier for him. We'll leave the AEK Panathinaikos game to a last. Bulk, 4-0 winners over Pas Janina. Baba, Meite, Tsimas and Reinstra own goal in the 66th minute for Bulk over Pas. I've said this for a long time, and I'll say it again. Bulk are the real deal, and whilst all this controversy has been happening, they're just going about their business. They're going to be one of those teams that I think they're not going to sneak under the radar. Early on the season, they were kind of sneaking. Now everyone's really truly seen it, but they're just clinical. They're doing things right. They're playing nice football. I don't know, boys.
This was literally no contest for them.
No, it was just a walk in the park.
Yeah, one-way street. And
nearly 15 shots at goal. Bus had no shots at goal. They had nearly 75% of the ball. It was just academic. It was just a training park run for them.
Yeah.
So.
And I want to say how deluded is the Bus Janina coach in his post-match comments. He's like, we played a good game. We changed the formation 3-5-2. We blocked all passages of play of Bao.
Yeah,
you played 3-5-2, but you parked the fucking bus and did nothing. And you malaka.
And you still got Pam Rio Rio, another one of those. You want him to do You want him to do well.
Light is our old coach.
Don't get me started.
That's why.
Yeah, fucking. Mate, we were on a 20 game winless streak with him at Larissa, and Kuria still didn't sack him. It took him a big loss against Ike for him to walk away. That says enough, man.
Well,
this shows you his delusions. I even mentioned one of my blogs back in the day about Grigoriu. Yeah. Just a shit coach.
Well, he's got him last spot or equal last, so he's the pressure's on, that's for sure for him.
Man, it must be easy to be a coach nowadays for someone to go out and say that. Oh, we played really good, we changed formation, block passage players. We lost 4-0 though.
I think you know the style of these coaches where they're on the merry-go-round, right? If he comes out and says we played like crap, they sack him, right? So he has to sit there and be deluded and believe in himself, even when they get pumped like that, and he'll come back and say, "No, we did this," even though everything, the raw stat of you had 23% of possession. Like, how'd you play well with 23% of possession? You don't. But I think if he comes out and says, yeah, we're completely off the pace and we had nothing and we couldn't do anything and none of my subs work and none of my tactics work, he'd be out of a job. Now, he knows he's probably on the firing end, but he also knows that, you know, if he can hold on to this job long enough, get a few decent results and then maybe, you know, move on at the end of the season, you'll have a club, some random club will pick him up, like Ionikos or someone. That, you know, they just jump back onto the merry-go-round, the football, and that's what's happening now. But, sorry, Stephen, we'll go back. Bulk, they're the real deal, mate.
They are. And, you know, I don't know how many more times I can sing their praises, George, but credit to them. They're still top of the table. I know Panathinaikos are level on points with them, but, yeah, good to beat. They've got to beat who's in front of them and get to the playoffs in as good a position as possible to get their first title in... It's 2019 was the last time they won the league.
Oh, there you go.
Undefeated.
Yes, undefeated. Well, last game of the round, Nico. AEK Athens 2, Panathinaikos 2. Garcia opened up the scoring for AEK in the 24th minute. Yedva in the 31st minute, 7 minutes later, equalised. Then Arao, in the 66th minute, got the second goal for Panathinaikos. And it was looking like it was going to be a big, big win for Panathinaikos. But in the 96th minute, Levi Garcia slots a penalty to draw the match. Nico, the floor is yours, my friend.
Start to the game, or before that, we were massive underdogs in this one. We were widely tipped to lose this game pretty comfortably. Lot of players missing, and after this, it's only gotten worse. I knew we'd be up for it. I knew Terim would have the players up for it. It was just a matter of, were we able to impose ourselves on the game? By that, I mean, bring his philosophies out against the strongest team we faced so far in the small sample size under him, and we really did overall. Start to the game for me was a bit slow for us. There were warning signs before the first goal. As for the first goal, I was really pissed off in the moment. Looking back on it now, days past, you know, a day later, I'm not, because I've lived this a year ago when Villa was copying goals like that under Emery. When Terim is full on in this, he wants the team so far high up the pitch, controlling and dominating, that we are going to ship goals like this. So be it. It's going to be part of the learning process, because Ike also had a couple of chances as the game went on in the same way. That simple ball in behind us. That did, however, the way we did play, it really made AEK uneasy. It forced them to play in a way that they're not used to. And as soon as we went a goal down, we just went into another level. We were the better team in this game overall across the 90 minutes. I wouldn't say 10 out of 10, but I'd say 7 or 8 out of 10. Probably 8 out of 10. We had probably 70, 75 good minutes in this game.
I don't know if you're the better
control.
I don't know if you're the better team, to be honest.
I think we were.
I think you guys
with the players we were missing to have.
You took your chances.
Gotsiras. If I told you a month ago we're going to go there and play with Gotsiras at defensive midfield, you would have laughed. I would have laughed. Everyone would have laughed. We went there. We did it, and he wasn't man of the match, but he was close. Aral for me was man of the match. Probably the only summer signing that's been a good one. Gotsiras, credit to him where it's due. He's no long-term defensive mid, but phenomenal. What else from this game?
Gotsiras ended up playing in the back line.
And he went up
as a centre-back. Yeah, because when you
then Zeka.
With a three-man...
Zeka came on.
When Wanka came off, we did a double substitution. Yeah, Bernard and Wanka came off for Zeka and Mladenovic. Yeah, I was listening to the second half on the radio, Sport FM, and they were talking about how Kotsiras went back as a central defender there. I thought from my perspective, I thought I got a little bit out of sorts lately as well. They're not playing the type of football that they've played.
Honestly, in this game, I think it was because of us.
Well,
we went there with a set way
in the cup. They didn't play the football that they've been playing. Even against Olympiacos, they didn't play the style that we've known them to play. So, I don't know. Something's going on at AEK. I wish Greg was on here to give us his thoughts, Michael. I mean, what do you reckon?
Yeah, they're not the same AEK as they were last season, but they still have that same fluidity that they have in the attack.
Oh yeah, no, I think.
But they still need to sort their defense out. That's still an issue that they haven't really tried. At least they've made the effort to address it, but they need to be a little bit more stable. That they're still out of sorts in defense. So that's something that they still need to try and work on, at least in this winter period. Now that the transfer window's still open, make a little defensive signing, like to stabilize things at the back. But I guess the positive thing that I can look at is that they're 13 games unbeaten in derbies. That is actually very good compared to what they were before under Almeida. It was pretty much, it was a very uproar feeling with AEK in derbies because they weren't winning derbies at all previously under, before Almeida came in. They were winning nothing. So that's a huge change with AEK now. The concern is that they've had 2 wins in 7 games. That is concerning. That's also, they've conceded, I think, 9 goals as well with that too. That's it. As I mentioned before, their defense, this is what I'm talking about. 9 goals they've conceded. Yeah. But the real spotlight at the moment is Levi Garcia. You can't go wrong with him.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with him.
You can. Yeah. How about the dive? That's worse than Yannakopoulos.
Can I forget the dive? Everyone dives. All players dive.
That's a bloody Oscar gold medal.
Ah. Nickel. Everyone dives.
They all dive.
It all dives. And look, as much as I say, yeah, it can be clever things, but it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing things to do as a footballer. I would never do it. If I was a player, I would never dive. I would be the one that's hard and gritty. That's the type. That's the type
until
of player.
Until you dive in the 98th minute.
Yeah, that's you got to wait for that moment.
You got to wait for the moment. You took the moment there.
Where it went wrong for us in this one,
yeah.
Ironically, were the things that Derim has done really well, and I can't really blame him too much because he's working. When I say working with nothing, I'm talking in terms of players available. We're really down to bare bones at the moment. The game before this one, we had one defensive mid in the squad, but he played at centre back. In this one, we in our matchday squad, we have four defensive mids. So there's a huge imbalance there alone. That says it all. And the subs there, we went into our shell a bit, invited pressure on ourselves, which has been the opposite to what he's usually done, where he's made the subs that have affected games and gotten us results.
Yeah.
It was like a reverse of what's been happening.
Controversial point. Yeah. Well, how did you see it? And we'll go to Steve and Michael on this one as well. I mean, I know how you're going to.
In the moment, I thought the Verbić one, so-so, and the Zeka handball, we were dudded at the death. Then, again, a day's passed, you cool your head, you watch it again. It was actually the opposite. Of that, but by that I mean the Verbić one was clear as day, and of course the club issued a statement after the game, but with a catch, a one sentence statement, not even 10 words.
Do you know what it said?
Talking about the referee, yeah, saying that we were robbed of such a clear as day penalty.
Yeah,
in whatever minute, 50 something minute, whatever it was, with Verbić in the box.
Maybe Alexi Gugias could work for you guys. We can split the bill.
Oh, he was a Panathinaikos supporter.
Growing up.
And Alafuzos was an Olympiacos supporter.
Yeah.
I mean,
you just brought up Kourias again, George.
Yeah.
He has done statements like that, Nico. I'll say this. When he was the owner of my club, we conceded a goal, and then he puts out a statement. He goes, "Bravo." That's it. That's all he wrote. Bravo.
You would have loved that. The one thing that I don't like is that I think Marinakis is, we're going off topic here, but I think Marinakis is giving him too much leeway, because when he was putting out these statements at Larissa, no one gave a shit. Now that he's putting them out at Olympia, of course, you can see that he's loving it. You see the photos and the images and the videos of him standing next to Karapapa, and they're just yelling and screaming and you know, and carrying on. And you can, if you didn't know who he was, you'd be like, oh, look how passionate this guy is. But he's just a lawyer. You know? Anyway.
Huge credit in this game. Not many are talking about it.
We'll go back to
Not for men of the match or anything, but Vaianidis. Because when it was 2-0, I'm not sure if you've seen what happened. Araujo had a chance and a half where the keeper was beaten. So Lodigin parried it into his path, and it was just a simple tap in to make it 3-2 to Ike at the death. And Vaianidis came out of nowhere and denied a certain goal.
Yeah. Stephen.
Denied, and he's on the verge of very soon to be announced a contract extension.
And we'll talk about some contract situations at your club in a minute as well. Stephen, yeah, how what do you think of these? What do you think? I'm lost for words.
Well, I with regards to the result, I actually said it would be a draw. I think if there'd been fans, I think it may have gone differently, but I'm not surprised it was a draw. The decisions, as we've said, it's happening to everyone, and it's just, is it a question of getting better foreign referees or training better Greek referees or
these
having
foreign
referees
were classified class A, whatever, European referees. These guys weren't the Slovakians or Slovenians that we had in our match against A. These guys were like the real deal type referees.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand the situation.
What I will say about AEK as well, it's very interesting that the only team that have beaten them this season in the league is Offi. They've only lost one game in the league this season. It is to Offi of all teams. So yeah, they're a weird team this season, AEK, because they don't look like they're not going to win it, but they don't look dead set to do it either. But then I guess they didn't look dead set to do it either until the playoffs. So
there's something amiss, and. It's only from seeing the way they play and the way they're playing and the way they've been playing recently as well. There's something missing there. Nicol, your goalkeeper has apparently been banished from the club. No contract. They couldn't agree on a contract. So he's been banished from first team action for the rest of the season. There was a rumor that AEK had put in a bid of €1 million, I think it was, for him. Was that just paper? We'll probably go to Michael, because Michael's all over this kind of stuff. Do you reckon that's paper talk, Michael, or do you reckon there's any truth?
Paper talk. It was just Sport Time that said about AEK.
Okay.
I think there's something in it, though. I'm not saying he's going to land there. I'm not even ruling Olympiacos out.
Has Olympiacos? Nah.
I'm not ruling AEK or Olympiacos out.
Do you know? I'm gonna just chuck a mad Malakia rumor out there, right? And I hope this starts getting wings and all that. If the inevitable happens and Carvajal gets
Jovanovic,
just a piece.
He's pretty close to Partizan Belgrade, last I heard.
There you go. Anyway, that's just another thing. Go, Stephen.
On another topic of sacked managers, Jose Mourinho has just been sacked, George, literally right now. So if Carvajal gets sacked by the end of the season, should we bring in Jose? I don't know. Who would he want to come to Pirea?
Imagine him in Greece.
Imagine him in Greece.
It'd be chaos.
Blimey.
Yeah, it'd be funny. I don't think, yeah, nah. Yeah. Nicol, Brignoli, yeah. is a fact that he has been banished for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's done. The club's issued a statement and everything.
Yeah, okay.
And it was all good on the club.
And it was all stemming from basically he's refused to sign. There was a contract put to him. They couldn't agree to whatever wages. Yeah,
the guy was on 300,000 euro a year. He wanted 1 million.
Okay, so he was getting underpaid.
He was, and that's why we went back and offered him 7 or 750, whatever it was. Okay. That's more than double.
Yeah.
And we know, you know, I know, everyone knows, 750, whatever it was, whatever we offered, it was in the sevens for a goalkeeper in Greece, good money.
Yeah, no, it is good money. Yeah.
I can't blame the club too much. Overall, he's made himself look like a total fool.
You can't overall, the club because you're not going to break the bank for a goalkeeper.
No, what I'm saying, where I blame the club in all this, it goes back to one man all the time. Everyone knows who it is, the Garafla Alafouzos. It always goes back to him. By that I mean, this should have been nipped in the bud this time last year. He should have signed a contract extension 12 months ago. But guess what? There was no technical director. But do you reckon
they've been trying to deal with him and he's just and because
no, they only started recently. This has only been a thing since September, October.
But do you think that then that was from his management saying I'm not talking contracts until we get closer to the transfer window?
Who knows?
There's a lot to it because I can't see because he was like one of your best players, most consistent player. I can't see how a relationship breakdown happens.
Well, you take the coach out as well, Jovanovic.
Yeah, Stephen.
For me, that's when it became crystal clear that he was going, when Jovanovic left. Yeah, Before that, I was on the fence.
Well, on the Brignoli thing about his wages, because we were always saying, the only team that would pay £1 million a year for a player like that is Olympiacos. But I'm looking at Baskalaki's supposed salary. He's only on, well, I say only, he's on 728,000.
That's what we said,
euros,
Steve.
That's in English pound sterling, to be fair, not in euros, but still.
That's about what it is for a goalkeeper. That's what in euros. We offered 750. And he wasn't happy with it.
Stankovic at Ajax is on 700,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think they offered him the type of parity style wage that the top clubs are giving goalkeepers. If you wanted more than that, then you're not going to get that. Obviously, he's got something in his pocket, though. Because if he doesn't, if you reject
Middle East.
Them,
where else?
Well, too, they were back in Italy, but it's like.
Yeah, go back to Italy, maybe. Or.
But, you know, like he's not going to play for any of the big clubs. So essentially, what he's doing is he's decided at this stage of his career that money is more important than anything. Because if he goes to Italy, he's not playing for any of the big clubs.
No,
so he's not going to be playing European football. Whereas at Panathinaikos, he had an opportunity to sign a contract, stay and be the man for the next few years there and at least get opportunities to be playing and participating in Europe and winning championships. Whereas
he knew 4, 6, 8 weeks ago that he was off. And I look at his situation compared to our former goalkeeper before him, Ziouzis. The way they handled themselves, one handled themselves like a true model professional. Then you got and gave his all until the last moment. Then you've got the other one that's just made himself look like a complete flog. And it goes back to that topic. The artist topic, exactly.
Yeah,
Greek. That's the key word.
He's a Greek. He lives in Greece. Exactly. He's going to live there. Brignoli's going to go back to Italy and
exactly.
You know, he's not going
to. My mind went to that a couple of days ago when it all happened. Exactly. It all goes back to that.
All right. The table. Balk on top on 41 points, equal with Panathinaikos on 41. Aik 39 points. Olympiacos 35. Aris 30. Asteras 26, that's a top six. Best of the rest, 7th, Atromitos 23, Lamia 21, Panseraikos 18, Ofi 17, Panetolikos 14, Volos 14, Pasianina 12, and Kifisia 12 points as well there. So next round of Super League matches. Match of the round is, well, we've got... we'll start from the top here. Lamia Kifisia, Pasiani na Batsiraikos. Batsiraikos, hopefully, will be looking, not hopefully, but I'll be looking to get a win there. Ofi Panetolikos, Volos Pauk. Atromitos Aik is going to be an interesting game there, fellas. Parthenikos host Asteras. That's a tricky one for you guys, but I think the match of the round, everyone could agree, would be Aris versus Olympiakos. So we'll talk about that in the coming podcast and the this time next week's podcast. Cup, Greek Cup. Let's go to here now. The fixtures coming up. Michael, Atromitos host Larissa. How do you see that one?
Gone.
Oh, Michael's gone.
Oh, Tonkasame, what happened?
Ah, not sure.
There you go. Who knows? He popped off. Oh, there he is. He's back. He's
just
coming back.
We finally talked to
no,
Larissa.
No, no, no. Hello. Sorry. Just, it looks like he's... Ella, anyway, we'll get back. Michael, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
Somehow dropped out.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I wasn't looking at the thing, so I don't know when you left. But we're talking about Greek Cup matches, and the first match, your team, Larissa, are away to Atromitos. It's gonna be a tough match. You guys are playing all right, Bala, though.
Yeah, we are. As you said, George, this will be tough. But I remember talking about this. The first leg result of ours a few weeks back,
yep,
that we were the better side and we should have won. Atromitos didn't play their usual game under Ilic. We mostly dominated that game, but
yeah.
Now it's now 3 weeks.
Fifth minute goal.
It's
there.
It's now 3 weeks later, but Atromitos are a completely different team now, but still unbeaten. It's going to be tough. We'll bow out of this one. I'll be surprised if we jag a result and go through.
How is the Cretan Marios Ogbo going?
Yeah, he's bagging in the goals for us.
Yeah,
but lately, he's not the one scoring at the moment. It's all over the place at the moment. Everyone's taking their shots at goal.
Yeah,
we don't really have a top scorer at the moment, so.
Well, that's a true cup match where I'm not going to write you guys off there. It's one all. Anyone can win it. What's Atromitos' mindset? Are they pushing for a top six? Are they pushing for a cup run? You know, cup runs don't mean anything in Greece like they do in, you know, the UK. So, we'll see. It's an interesting one how that one's going to be panned out there. Galicia and Panetolikos play. Panetolikos have a 3-2 lead in the first leg there, so that'll be a nice tricky match for Galicia and Panetolikos. Kifisia and Ofi playing. Ofi has a 3-1 lead in the cup, so you would think Ofi should progress through there. Panseraikos and Paok play. There, Michael, is this a piscati or was I?
No.
No, no, okay. No. Aris and Aik playing. They had a nil or draw. And I remember Greg specifically said that in the first match, that was probably the worst game that he's seen Aik play this year. So
yes, but the big news in this game is the MVP is back. Dambanovic, the man that won him the league last season, the Montenegrin ref.
Okay. There you go.
He's the referee.
There you go. So he's the ref in this match there. So Aris versus Aik there. So Aris is on fire. So we'll see how Aris go in this match. It'll be an interesting one. They're hosting it as well. So, all to play for both teams in that one there. And last but not least, Olympiakos Panathinaikos won all in the first match there. Stephen, I'll go to you first before we go to Nicol. What do you think? One, what lineup do you think they're gonna play Olympiakos? And two, do you think the job can be done at home?
Well, one thing's for sure, Retsos won't play because he's suspended. But Alexandropoulos is due to start this game again. Carvajal rested him for the game in the game against Kifishia, even though he came on as a substitute, so he'll probably start. There'll probably be a little bit of rotation. There's a bit of a doubt. El Arabi is injured. I think Pudence is a doubt.
Tolakis,
Omar Richards is a doubt. Sorry?
Do you reckon Tolakis will start?
Zolaki's had an okay game in the Kvisiya match, to be fair. But barring that, I know he conceded two goals, but I think Baskalakis will definitely start this
Yeah,
one.
well, that's what I'm thinking. Was I think? Do you think Paskalakis was dropped or rested?
I think he was rested.
Yeah.
I think he was rested. I don't think there's a, he's not done anything wrong, Baskalakis,
Nah,
and if there's any
I think he
suggestion he
was
has,
rested
then.
too because I thought the club probably thought Kvisiya, we should get the job done there. Even though it was a
Just
bit
about
harder, we
did,
did
yeah.
get the job done. But yeah, I think he was rested rather than dropped. Do you think we have enough to get through?
If we had El Arabi on the bench coming on to score and then having to score again, then maybe. I still think that there's every chance. We played okay against Panathinaikos in the first leg. We just need to get our substitutes right and not drop off in the second half. Although, to be fair, that was more due to the fact Panathinaikos sorted themselves out in the second half and looked the better side when we didn't.
No, fair enough. Nickel, what do you think? What team do you think you guys are going to put out, and how do you think your team's going to go?
Whichever 11 players are fit, whichever 11 players you can find that are fit. Lodygin, obviously. The big one in this one is Ioannidis is out injured. He'll miss this one. He'll miss Asteras. And he's also a doubt for Toumba. That's the one he's most likely to be back for, but not confirmed. Just wait and see for that one. Ioannidis out, as we said. Seddin still out. Zouricic still out. Palacios still out. Hopefully we see our new signing Akaydin come in, and we'll, again, whether he's going to start or not, who knows? Limnios got his first minutes against Ike. I
Yes,
don't
that's
think
right.
he'll start him in this one. I think he'll go with Aitor, and it could be Verbitz. You don't know. Probably Mancini's going to be nailed on, I think, for one wing. Then we'll see for the other one then, I guess, because Aitor in the reverse leg, in the first leg, he played. He wasn't that effective at all. He was like anonymous, basically.
And what do you think you need to do to win this match?
Do what we did in the second half. Play our style. Do what we did against AEK. Go in and play our style because
Oh, sorry, in the second half
Jovanovic
against AEK or in the second half against
against
us?
Olympiacos.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm saying Jovanovic was an attacking coach, and we me too. I'm at fault for this one. I keep bringing his name up. We shouldn't. It's in the past. Got to look forward. He was an attack-minded coach, but what I'm trying to say is Terim takes it to a new level, new stratosphere. So we got to stick to his philosophies and back him, no matter how risky it is.
I think I don't know, but I think, and I don't know, I'll get to Stephen. You took it to us in the second half, but I think Carvajal stuffed up the substitutions, Steve.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't
Agreed.
know, and I look,
Yeah,
and
but Terim nailed his.
that's not taking anything away from what Panathinaikos did, but I think
Yeah.
that we wrecked what we were doing. It was right. I didn't understand, and we just lost our fluidity in that match there. So anyway.
Look, it's another. He's not just because it's Olympiacos. I really want to try and take this as seriously as possible now. The cup, because there's no Europe. I hope we can get through. I really hope so. And it's another game under the new coach, and another game to for him to get his the players to put his ideas across onto the pitch and just keep growing and growing. Because I saw some stupid comments from Ike supporters. They'll probably troll him, saying that was Panathinaikos at the ceiling. That was Panathinaikos, nowhere near a ceiling. You wait till the playoffs if we can get players back and sign a couple of more players
If
in a
you're
few
looking
more
for
weeks, and I'll show
serious
you ceiling.
conversations on Twitter or social media from opposition fans, forget about
More than
it.
likely, it was trolling. Yeah, more than likely.
More than likely,
Oh, yeah, for sure.
100% it was trolling. Michael, what do you reckon this result's going to be, Mr. Neutral? Or who do you reckon goes through? Let's make that one. Let's use
Yeah,
that one
because it
instead.
could
Oh,
be
you're
extra time
muted.
penalties. Yeah. Away goals don't count.
Yeah, Michali, you've muted yourself, mate.
First of all, I should all look at their anniversary logo before they start talking.
Oh,
Oh, look at
that
that. Sending
anniversary
reply to
logo
Ike.
looks like I made that on. It looks like
It looks like me making something on
it looks
Canva.
like
Yeah.
my skills
Even the
on Canva.
jerseys.
It looks
Yeah,
like
I'm
my skills
curious.
on Canva.
Honestly, even the jerseys they wore against us, there's so
They're
much good you
pathetic.
can do. There's so much good you can do. They had some really nice ones in the early
They just need
90s,
to look
mid-90s.
at their past history and look at the stuff
Yeah,
that they
they had
wore
some
and
great
look at
ones.
some crazy, beautiful stuff that they have, and you bring that back not you create this monstrosity of a thing. That was disgusting. But anyway, we'll leave that. That's, yeah. Michael, who's winning? Who's progressing?
That's tough. I mean, I know the flaws of Olympiacos with the current coach. I know he's made some stupid decisions regarding substitutions. But there's still some good decent football you guys are playing. Panathinaikos, however, play with that high pressure attacking system that Derin wants to play. And that's the floor of theirs as well, the defense. It's tough to call.
Very.
Set pieces they're our enemy.
I'm going to say it's going to go to penalties.
Yeah. Wouldn't shock me.
And penalties. I have to pick one. I'm going to say Olympiacos.
Okay.
Olympiacos on penalties.
Hey. Nico, what do you reckon the result's going to be? Or who do you reckon, or how do you think it's going to be?
It wouldn't show. I don't know about penalties, but because away goals don't count, which is good, because if they counted, I reckon this game would have been different. You guys would have been up with your away goal. So you guys will come out and try and bring the game to us, which I think will help us as well. So it's going to be whichever defense can damage limitation, I think, yeah, can hold out. Who knows? Who knows? As Michael, as we all said, it's going to be so hard.
Yeah.
Extra time wouldn't shock me. I've got to back my team, don't I? Otherwise, I'm not a
Christian supporter. Yeah, no, of course you have to back your team. So, all right, Stephen, how do you think this game goes? Obviously, you want Olympiacos to win. So, how do you think it? How do you think the
obviously,
result?
Obviously, I do. But Olympiacos is not. It's never simple with Olympiacos, whether that be outside issues or ourselves. But I will back my team too. I think Olympiacos will narrowly get to the quarterfinals of the Greek Cup.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, everyone's going on the close thing. I think someone's going to win probably 2-0. I think someone's going to score within the first 20, 25 minutes, and then they're going to score again midway through the second half. And just not that I think that it's going to be a 2-0 steamroll or walk in the park for whichever side, but I think whoever scores first is just going to have the psychological advantage over the other side, and they'll probably get the second goal as well. I can see a 2-0 result, hopefully for Olympiacos. But you know, it's key is whoever scores first. I think whoever scores first in this one is going to win the match. Let's put it that way, and I'm hoping that it's my team. Michael, you brought in just a little interesting one there. Two Greeks, first time two Greeks have scored in a Panathinaikos Olympiacos derby there. Just to add a little bit of more context to it, one was a junior for Olympiacos, the other one was a junior for Panathinaikos, and they're both playing for the other club.
Yes.
That's a good stat. So yeah, it's good. We're seeing more and more Greeks and quality Greeks, and Ioannidis has taken his game to another level there. See how long he stays in Greece, and Alexandropoulos is starting to show the form that we saw early on in his career. So
big loss, Ioannidis, for this one. Huge.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Huge. So he injured
and Jeremejeff. Yeah, Jeremejeff still out as well. So we're only down to one striker. The man, the myth, the legend, Sportard.
Yeah.
The much maligned figure. So we'll see
if Peanuts can get the goals for you.
40 in the last couple of games, even against you guys in the first leg and against Ike, the sitter he missed against you guys laid on.
Mm.
And then against Ike, there was a low cross, very good chance as well that he missed. His all-round game has been phenomenal this season, but he's run himself into the ground, and we saw just the finishing the last couple of games.
Yeah. Well, could be a nice little break for you guys. The injury probably came at a perfect time for him in a sense where he can just rejuvenate himself for the run home in the league. I think that's it, guys. What we're going to do, everyone, as well, is we're going to have another midweek podcast because there's some big cup matches. We'll do a little midweek one if time allows us. Just a little wrap up of the cup matches, and then we'll go back to just the weekly podcast with the football. I said it last week. I said, and we've been saying it. We're growing big. We're kicking goals. We're doing everything, and we're loving the fact that our numbers are going through the roof there. So thank you to everyone from around the world that's listening to us. We look at the map, and we've got people listening to us in Netherlands, New Zealand. Obviously, we've got the Australia, America, UK. We've got lots of Canada, Germany. I think we've got Russia. I think we've even got China. Sweden. I think we've got Sweden. I think we've got China, but I think we've got some weird and wonderful places where people are picking us up from. So, and it's growing, and we love it. And we thank you. And all we ask, if you get an opportunity, if you can please give us a 5-star review on one of the one of the platforms, either Apple Podcast or the Spotify, that would be fantastic. It would literally take 2 seconds. Thank you to the people in Portugal, Italy, Denmark, Thailand, Aruba. I don't even know where Aruba is. France.
Yeah, Caribbean.
Is it? There you go. Yeah. Austria, Japan, Philippines, Mexico, Cyprus. Thank you to your cousins in Cyprus, Steve. South Africa, Brazil. We've got people in Brazil listening to us.
This is great.
Russia, Estonia, Egypt, the Egyptians. Thank you. Czech Republic, Puerto Rico, India. The list can go on. Thank you to all the people. These analytics, when we look at them, they just blow us away, guys. And we thank you for everyone. Guys, thank you again for listening to us. We love what we do. Stephen, Nick, Michael, thanks for popping on. And hope your team wins. Hope you have a fantastic week. And we will speak to you guys soon. Boys, we'll see you later.